Renny, welcome to Money Bites.
Thank you for having me.
So as a quick intro, Winnie is a platform and community of women in tech and allies looking to improve our financial wealth as well as our career and just being really transparent about it. So really excited to hear your experience as well. We'll start with our three resident questions. The first is, give us a quick intro, a one-liner about yourself. And the second is, what might be a surprising trivia about yourself?
Interesting. Okay, so quick background about myself. My name is Renny Morel. I am from Brooklyn, born and raised, and I work at Google. I work in the advertising tech sector. And you said one trivia about myself?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm not really good with like, whenever, you know, it comes time to like introduce yourself to like a group or like a fun fact, I'm like, I don't know myself. Like what? Great about myself. I love plants. I'm a plant mom. So I have a total of like 7 plants at home. I wish I had photos of them, but I absolutely love plants.
I see why you chose your background as such. Very nice. Is there a particular type of plant that you like? I also heard as a type of investment, some people are starting to take care of really exotic, expensive plants.
Interesting. Well, mine are from IKEA, but everyone is my birds of paradise. I got it like 2 years ago, and it's about 7 feet tall now. But when I got it, it was about 2 feet. So very proud of my baby.
You definitely have a green thumb. Very nice. Our third resident question, what's your first memory of money?
My first memory of money was when I got my first job at the age of 17. I got my first paycheck. I was getting paid like $8 an hour at the time. And I was 17. And like, I was just like so excited. I think it was like a total of like $130. And I was just like, oh my God, like this feels amazing. And my dad was like very hardworking. So like I showed him, he was like, good, like get to it. And I'm like, yeah, this is amazing.
Love it. Love it. What did you do with it?
I was in college during the time. So I probably bought like a monthly Metro card with it, but still it felt amazing.
Love it. It definitely has a sense of empowerment for better or worse.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great segue to college. So, you mentioned you started off with going to community college, and that was influenced by your family circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, each one of my aunts and uncles did go to like a CUNY college, which is like a city college, whether that was Brooklyn College, City College, even like Lehman in the Bronx. So it was kind of like a known thing that like my cousins and I fell into like the community college or like the city college. We just knew it was cheaper and the opportunities were there as well.
Very nice. So it sounds like your family has had quite a bit of influence in terms of not only college selection, but also how they are accumulating generational wealth.
Yeah, yeah. My grandma was the one who migrated here from the Dominican Republic. And, you know, she instilled like hard work in everybody. And she also helped everyone as well. But all of my aunts went to like Brooklyn College for teaching. Like some of my aunts are teachers. My sister was the only one that went to a private college, but she also got a scholarship for that. Otherwise, she would have just also went to a CUNY college. My cousins also went to John Jay, CSI, which is in Staten Island. They're all CUNY colleges, which were local and you know, super cheap to get your undergrad.
Looking back, do you think you would go back to a CUNY college or would you go to a different type of college?
No, I would go back to CUNY college. I went to Baruch College, which is on 23rd and Lex. And I mean, it wasn't easy, just like any other, you know, college experience, but the proximity to corporate America was definitely there. And I would say Baruch College is as close as you're going to get to NYU with like a fraction of the cost. So it was very smart. Like if I were to go back, I would do the same thing.
Very nice. It also seems your grandmother had a influence in building generational wealth, not only in education, but also the...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always ask her stories of like, you know, when you first came here, like, how did you do it? Like, you know, how did you get through all of that without even knowing English? And she came here around 1971, and, you know, she came here pregnant, and she had to leave, like, you know, her kids at the time, I think it was only four, and her husband. And she had to work for 2 years straight just to bring all of them here. And once she did, you know, she opened up her sewing factory in like Sunset Park, Brooklyn. She had to close it down because of mass production. And then, you know, she had six kids. So like a lot of people didn't want to rent to her. So she kind of took it upon herself to be like, I have to buy a house. Like I can't just like go from apartment to apartment with my husband and my children. And, you know, they all they see is like six kids, and like they don't, I always pay on time. So I don't like, I'm still surprised. I'm like, how do you buy a house? She bought a house in Sunset Park, and from there that instilled, you know, home ownership with my uncles and my aunts and my mom. And then that kind of trickles down to us as well.
You also have home ownership as a goal in your sort of portfolio.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's tough nowadays, right? Like nobody likes the interest rates nowadays. I mean, you know, some of my cousins bought their house like a year ago and or like during 2020. And like I see like some of the good rates that they got, and I'm like looking around and I'm just trying to figure out, do I want an investment property or do I want like a single family home for myself? I'm still in like the like what do I want phase, but then also kind of waiting things out. But for sure, it's definitely like in my path.
That's awesome. In part of your path has been quite interesting in terms of your career as well. So you started out during college in retail, but even during that time, you had family influence through your sister.
Correct. Yeah, you know, all college students or most college students, like they'll have jobs. And since I was in the city, I was in, you know, New York City, I would go to school and then work after or work first and then go to school. So I always like had a job during college. I started out in retail, like in Times Square, like folding clothes and selling them and like at the cash register. And then kind of just like hopped from retail to retail. And then I also got another job at like Ralph Lauren. And then I got like a little bit more money after that, but it wasn't much. But still, I was going to school and working at the same time. And then I, my third retail job was at a T-Mobile. So yeah, it was like a lot of just retail jobs because they were easy, you know, like to go to, and also very flexible with my school schedule.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like throughout this whole time, your sister was like on your shoulder saying, advertisement, come into advertisement.
Yeah, like she has been in the industry for a while. And I was like ignorant at that time. I was just like, I want to do things on my own. And she was like, I have resources, I can help you. And I'm like, no, like I want to build my own path. And like looking back, like I've accomplished what I set out for myself. But looking back, I'm like, the help was there. Like, why didn't I just take it? Why did I have like this whole like, oh, I want to do things on my own? I was just so like, I don't understand still to this day. But yeah, if the help is there, like reach out for it. Like, it's okay to receive help. I was just ignorant at the time.
At the same time, I have to say sometimes we have to go through our own mistakes to make the experience your own. But that's a really good advice in terms of a bit of vulnerability and a bit of assistance. You can always pay it forward.
For sure. And that's what I set out to do in my role now. But yeah, if the help is there, you know, like it's okay to receive help. Resources, networking, connections, just like any sort of like, you know, chance that you can be in the room with somebody who's like in a certain position and you can learn from, you know, people love talking about themselves. Like, so I definitely should have took advantage, but I didn't. And then I was just, you know, I changed my major a couple times because in my head, I was just like, I want to I want to be good financially. Like, I don't care what I do. So, you know, during college, I changed my major like three times. I went to finance. I thought I wanted to do accounting and I changed my major to accounting. And I hated it. I didn't like the finance or accounting like sectors. And then finally, I really liked business communications, which is just like business admin. It's like a lot of things. But The professors that I met, you know, during like that undergrad program, amazing. Great mentors. You know, I learned a lot about myself, and I also learned a lot about just, you know, working in groups and project management.
Love it. Love it. It seems as you were switching your interest, you took a pay cut to take an internship in the advertising world.
Yeah, I think 2016, I have to say 2017, but I had to leave my retail job. And I, you know, got an internship because I was like, all right, I'm in my junior year. I'm approaching my senior year. I think I was in senior year, and I was like, I need to grab an internship. I need something that's under my belt. I can't just stay in retail forever. And I went, you know, on Indeed. I went on all these websites to look for just like, you know, advertising internships. Even if I just was sitting there and punching numbers, I didn't care. I just wanted my foot in the door. And I secured an internship at a smaller like agency, advertising agency. And I did take a pay cut, and I was very okay with it. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna have to cut back on certain things, but this is like my foot in the door, and this is something that I can put on my resume. And it was a interesting internship, but it was a lot of going through a lot of keywords and, you know, grouping things together. I used to go through like 100,000 keywords a day. Like it was like just 8 hours of that. But I just stuck it out because I was like, I need this for like my resume. Like I know like I can learn from other people as well. Like my proximity to like the like engineers were around. My proximity to sales were around. So I really took that advantage of being close to, you know, folks who were smarter than me. And I really like acted like a sponge in that area. But it was a pay cut. It was.
For sure. And you know, the trade-offs, they're real sometimes, what it takes to get into an industry. Since your first foray into advertising, you have taken quite a few new opportunities. So during this time, we're seeing that your life satisfaction was quite jiggly in the very beginning, almost into the negatives. Is that while you were figuring things out in the advertising agency?
Yeah, and maybe even like a little bit before that. But yes, while I was figuring it out, like my first job out of college, or even like during the internship, you know, you're just confused. You don't know if it's like you're leading with blind faith, right? Like it's confusing. You don't know if like you're moving towards like the right trajectory. You don't know if like it's all gonna pay out in the end, you know, because you're just kind of there day over day. You don't know if you're gonna get a full-time job after this. You don't know what's next, and I think that that's very anxiety ridden, right? Like you're not sure of what's gonna happen. And still, like, you're so early in your career that your confidence isn't as high, and you're like,
curiosity, was what you expected the advertisement world to be how it actually was, or was it very different?
Yeah, I think it was what I expected it to be. It wasn't, you know, it's a great industry to be in. It's like you learn so much. There are a lot of great people, but you also go through a lot of challenges as well. So I feel like that, but that's like with any career, but yeah.
Was the challenges because of the people or the type of work, your day-to-day job?
The challenge was like, I kind of came in not knowing anything, and I was in a room with people who knew way more than me and kind of looked to me for input, or, you know, then I had like a lot of imposter syndrome. Like, do I even belong here? Like, am I even like, do I deserve a seat at the table? It's like, it was like a lot of that. So it was more like, I came in like, not knowing anything at all. And I'm like new and fresh to this, especially like the environment as well. And I'm with people who are different ethnicities and different age ranges, but they're looking to me for like either input or, you know, I'm talking to a client and things like that. So it was it because of that.
When did you start feeling more comfortable with your role and being able to be vocal with your inputs?
When I finally felt like I knew what I was doing, like when you finally get it, right? Like whenever you start a new job, like they'll give you like a 6-month period of like when you actually get to know like what exactly you're doing and what your role is, especially working like cross-functional teams. I think in the beginning of my internship, I was in a different role and I wanted to move to a different team. So I did that and secured a full-time position. And then, you know, within a few months after that, that's when I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing now. And I know like my value and I know that I deserve a seat here because, you know, I'm helping with QBRs. I'm traveling to client offsites and I'm speaking in front of them. So that is when like, all right, like I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm doing here and I know why I'm here.
There were two big bumps in your career satisfaction where it kind of plummeted for a while.
So that's like when I felt like I was at a job that I wasn't learning it more. So like the first one was like, you know, my first job out of college, like, you know, I had a great run and I loved taking on new opportunities and I love like learning more things, but I felt like I kind of hit a plateau and I wasn't getting like anything more. So that's when like my satisfaction was down. I'm like, damn, I kind of want more. I want to get into more projects for bigger initiatives. And then once it went up, that is when I got a new job. And I also want to caveat like the second job out of college. I started during COVID. So I started during lockdown. And then like I left during like it was still COVID and like people not going into the office. So I didn't really get to enjoy the office and enjoy like, you know, the experience of being around like a lot of people, like a huge company.
That probably definitely impacted your impression, but also how you were able to onboard.
Oh my God, for sure. I onboarded completely remote and I had to teach myself and also lean on like the company's resources. They had a lot of resources, but still I had to teach myself. I couldn't go up to somebody's desk and be like, hey, can you explain this, right? I had to like sit through like programs and like go through slides and like maybe some YouTube videos as well to teach myself like the programmatic industry. But it was, I wish I could have gone in the office because I know that there was like a lot of great people that I could have met, that I could have maybe had lunch with or had a coffee with. And it was a bigger company, so I know that there was more diversity as well.
You think, looking back, you might have onboarded differently in terms of how did you connect with people virtually?
That's a great, and I love that you brought that up because, you know, when I'm mentoring people, I'm like, you can't be scared to just throw some time on somebody's calendar. If you don't know them, it's okay. Like they're in the same organization as you. And like the worst thing that can happen is that they'll say, I'm busy or I cannot right now. Right. But I was just like, I'm gonna get to know everybody in the org. Hop on a call with them, on a video call, because remember we used Teams at the time. Reach out to them, you know, see like what they're working on. You cannot be scared to do that. You just have to do it.
And around what time did you switch over from your agency into Google?
Around after like a year and like 8 months or a year and like 9 months. So it's been November 2021 is when I joined Google.
Did you apply or did the recruiter reach out?
Well, I don't know how, but the recruiter did reach out to me and I thought, I was like so surprised and I was like, wait, this can't be real. Because I've also been telling myself, like, before I even got reached out to, I was like, I kind of want to go more technical. The thing about programmatic is that there's so much things that you can do within it. There's a lot of players out there. There's a lot of, like, third-party, you know, DMPs you can work with. You can work on the client side. You can work on the publisher side. There's so many things you can do. But I wanted to go more technical. I wanted to be, like, a little bit more platform side. So it was like the universe or God like answered my prayers because, yeah, like they reached out to me and I called my sister and I was like, I don't think I'm qualified for this. Like I just, you know, obviously I had like imposter syndrome. I was like, I don't know. I'm not ready for this. And my sister was like, please, like stop. Enough with that. And she was like, you deserve a seat at that table. Go get it. And I was like, all right. I'm going to do it. And then I did the same thing with my other cousin. I called my cousin Alex and I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, I'm not smart enough. And he was like, go grab that opportunity. Like, that's an opportunity right in front of you. Go grab it. It's yours. So it was really nice to have that.
I love the bond that you have with your family. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm super blessed for that.
I'm curious, through the different roles that you've had at different companies, has your role in advertisement changed then?
Do you mean like as far as like my work?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, well, like my first two jobs out of college, it was more like account management, client facing, you know, finding opportunities for growth, measurement, things like that. But still like reporting back on like to the client. Whereas now I'm still working with clients, which are like, you know, the agencies, but more on the technical side. So like they kind of come to us with like challenges. And then, you know, I'll go back to my team with my cross-functional teams and kind of collaborate together on how we can solve their problems through Google products or, you know, third-party integrations and things like that.
Would you still say you're in the advertising world then?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the, you know, products that I do work on, it's all like the GMP suite, right? So the Google Marketing Product Suite. YouTube, and like we're touching activation, measurement, and bidding, but on the technical side.
Gotcha.
So not the media planning side, but more technical, like, okay, we want to do this. How do we do it on your platform?
Interesting. Curious, in your work energy time, if you see this circle as 100%, it doesn't have to be like a day in the life or a week in the life. Just if you think about your focus and energy, what would you say it's broken down in terms of your work scope and how you spend your time?
I'm going to just cut the circle in four. Mm-hmm. So one corner will be like working with cross-functional partners.
Yeah.
And then into the other quarter with clients, so client facing.
Yep.
And then the other corner is like internal kind of like project management. So like working on certain like internal team-oriented initiatives.
Gotcha.
And then learning and development, which is the other one.
What does that mean?
So, of course, you know, tech and like AI and machine learning and just like new integrations, you always kind of have to be reading about it and studying it. So always kind of keeping yourself abreast of new trainings, which Google has so many like resources to like help you learn about. If you want to like go into coding, like they have huge curriculums on that. If you want to learn more about AI, machine learning, about all the products that Google Cloud has, they have so many resources that you can go through so that you can learn.
That's awesome that you have a 25% dedicated time towards learning about the industry.
Yeah, you have to. You have to kind of stay on top of everything. There's so much out there, especially like this year.
Yes, for sure. With AI and Gen AI, for sure. Out of those four quadrants, what do you like the most?
I would say working with cross-functional teams, and let me see. I enjoy, there's like pros and cons to everything, right? Like I enjoy some things about it, but then I don't. But yeah, I think working with my peers at Google, I absolutely love working with sales, with marketing science, with the more tech counterparts. I think it's super fun.
And what do you do when you work with cross-functional partners as a solutions architect?
Well, we kind of come together and see first what the client goals are and how we can help, even if it's in phases, and we'll come together to see how we can deliver a project.
What would you say is a section that you hate? Or rather than, hate is a strong word.
Yeah.
Energy.
When you're working with too many people.
Mm.
Right, because you might not need, you know, a certain org, maybe like not now, maybe not now is not the time to bring them in, but we're kind of just all kind of come together and like the R&Rs aren't clear, but it ends up, you know, kind of fixing itself as we move through the project.
Gotcha.
And I'm pretty sure you experienced that at Meta too, like just a lot of people kind of coming together. You're like, wait, we don't need everybody here.
For sure. And I think that's where we've tried to integrate. Have you heard of the RACI model? Like who's responsible, who's accountable?
I've heard of that model, but we kind of do similar but different.
That's been helpful, but I totally get you. Sometimes if you want to be inclusive, but it can lead to having too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So sure, for sure. This was also the time when your net worth graph took a steep upward trend. As you were getting the call from Google, did you negotiate?
I did negotiate, but the number that I ended up negotiating was just the number that I did end up getting, but that was standard. So I did. I went back to my sister. I was like, should I? She's like, yeah, best practice is to always do it. What's the worst case scenario? No, we don't go, we won't go that high, you know? So yeah, I did negotiate because that's always a best practice to negotiate. And I ended up getting what I did negotiate.
Love it. I also find it interesting in college, you were like, no, sister, I got this. And now she's your best confidant.
I'm done. If you want to help me, help me. And I'm also open to helping others too.
Love it. As you were going through this, what has been the biggest difference going from agency to Google? Let's start from the net worth / compensation. Once you had that big jump, did it have an impact on your day-to-day living?
Yeah, I think I felt more financially secure. I felt just happier in general, and I felt well taken care of. Even things outside of like money as well. I think just even the environment, I felt just amazing after that. Whereas I think obviously when you're up and coming in the agency, you don't know. I think the pay is very competitive, and you're just when I'm going to reach X amount, or I need to do this and that to reach this level. So you're kind of kind of set on that. But yeah, I think just my overall mental well-being jumped up because of many things.
As an example?
So the office setting, visiting each offices, meeting people from different offices as well. I met people from the Brazil office. I met people from the London office, and who would just hop on a call with me and kind of create that community as well. Whenever you're in London, come by, or I'll show you around, or, whenever you come to Taiwan, this is the office. The network that you'll grow there, or you'll have, is priceless as well. So it was a lot. So it was the equity, the offices, the resources, and of course, just being around diverse people as well.
Love it. As two questions here. One, it looks like the jump to big tech has played a very, very big impact on you. Going back to how you were able to get into the role, do you think certificates and things like that helped?
I think my experience definitely helped, but for sure, certificates do help. Certifications and certain Google products I already had did help. But it also depends what you want to do, right? If you're more on the software engineering sector, I'm not too sure about it. There are boot camps out there that'll help you. There are, certifications you can take online that'll help you. For advertising, it's very flexible. There's so many out there. There's Coursera certs, there's Google certs, there's LinkedIn, Lynda certs that you can take. But I think you'll really grow once you have a pairing of experience.
What was a pairing of experience and certificate that really made you stand out?
The fact that I worked on a lot of DSPs aside from DV360. So I worked on in my account management role, the trade desk. I worked on Amazon. I worked on Yahoo, Verizon, and I had that experience with media buying or media planning, paired with the certifications that I had on the Google ones too.
What type of certifications?
So there's skill shop ones on Google. So if you want to learn about, the ad serving platform, there's a campaign manager one. There's the Google Analytics one, which is another great one, certifications that you can grab. There's a Google Ads one. There's so many Google specific platform certs that you can grab. But like I said, paired with the experience that I did have also helped, right? So I bought media on all platforms. I like was working with partners and, you know, like buying this client's like out of home through here. Like, I, you know, just having like that pairing as well is super important.
For the advertising solution architect's role, are you able to share what the salary range is?
It depends the level. So I'm not sure about all the levels though.
Fair. Is it mostly base or do you also get, what do you call it in sales? The
commission?
Commission.
Yeah, I think that another org gets commission, but we do get like base, bonus, and like equity as well.
Gotcha. And in the agency as well, was it mostly base and bonus, no commission?
Right.
Cool. One final thing that I want to ask with the jump in salary was, has it changed how you are enjoying money?
Yes and no. Like it has. I will say it has. I have taken more trips. I will say that. And I still have been putting money away to my Roth IRA, putting money away 401k, putting money away for savings. But I do have like a little bit more money to like travel and things like that, which I want to do now. Anytime I hear like advice from an older person, like travel while you're young. So I've been doing that more.
Love it. Where has been a recent travel?
Portugal, which was really, it was really fun. I went with my best friend to Lisbon and Porto. I go to the Dominican Republic all the time. It's my favorite country. It's also where my parents are from and my grandma and everybody else. But I take a lot of trips there. And last November, I went to London, France, and Italy.
Love it. As you are investing more into the stock market through 401ks and IRAs, how is real estate investing looking in your portfolio? Do you think it's as high of a priority or less so?
It's high. I'm definitely like, there's definitely a bucket for it. And I'm always like, I also believe in like the power of like instilling stuff in your head. So like, I'm always looking at houses every day. I'm like, okay, like I'm gonna, this is like what I would like. This is what I don't want. Like, I'm trying to like have that clear vision. It's still there. I'm just waiting for like the rates to get better. I'm waiting for that right opportunity for myself. But it's like an up and down thing too. Cause 2020, I was heavily, like I was really close to buying a house. Last year, I was really close to buying a house. I had my pre-approval ready. I was like, I really wanted to do it, but it fell through because of the house had certain like violations and like a lot of issues. And so it's definitely in my head and it comes in waves. But the last couple of years have just been so weird for the housing market. And then they're like, millennials have it worse than boomers. And it's just like, yeah, have you seen what's been going on?
Yeah. Last question. You're in a pretty good place right now in terms of your net worth, career satisfaction, life satisfaction, etc. 3 to 5 years out, do you see yourself still in the advertising realm? Or what do you think might come next?
That's a question that I think about and recently been thinking about a lot. As I'm working with my manager on career conversations, I have two mentors, constantly chatting like with my family on that. I'm taking some time also to upskill myself on like other certifications, maybe a little bit more technical. You know, I'm leaning on that. I don't know what I want yet, but definitely would love to stay in the advertising tech sector for sure.
What is something that's really exciting in the advertising tech sector?
AI, Gen AI, for sure.
Have you played around with it?
Yes and no. I mean, of course, you know, I've been using Bard at work, but also Google Cloud has like a lot of great solutions to like enable, you know, businesses or agencies to like bring that to their business and to their clients. So I've been learning about that more and more, trying to fit that into my L&D time.
Love it. I love how Google has really set a pace of it being a positive circle of reinforcement. Yeah. Sounds like you're at a great place for you to take the next step.
Yeah.
Awesome, Reni. This was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.